The opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Ah, welcome, welcome. We're glad you could make it. You're just in time for the Paranormal View with your hosts, Henry Foister, Cat Cloco, Cat Barber, and myself, Jeffrey Gould. In our comfy live chat room here at para-x.com, enjoy our various paranormal investigator guests, mediums, authors, cryptozoologists, psychics, ufologists, etc. So sit back, relax with us and the Paranormal View.
And welcome, everybody, right here to the Paranormal View on the ParaX Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. And those in the chat room, I hope you have a great time tonight. And those listening from around the world, we appreciate each and every one of you. And if you're not with us here in the chat room, please come on over to para-x.com. Click on the live chat button, and you'll be in with all these wonderful people. Interact with them and with us, and you'll be able to ask questions of our guest. But if you still don't want to come over, but you got questions, you can still ask questions. You can send us a question to theparanormalview@gmail.com, and we will get that right on over to our guest, and we'll get it answered for you. Now, tonight we have with us Cat Cloco.
Hello, everyone. Greetings from the East Coast.
And we have Jeffrey Gould.
Hello, hello.
And we have Barbara Duncan, also known as Ceiling Cat.
Hello, folks.
All right. Now, there's other ways if you want to get in touch with us, you can. Is that right, Cat?
Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter and tweet us over your messages. You can find us at ParaView Radio.
All right. And I am sure that the sound is coming through nice and crisp and clear tonight.
The intro sounded a little weird through my headset. Something like somebody threw a card table at it or something.
Yeah, that sounded like Henry adjusted his microphone while the opening was going.
No, I didn't do anything. I haven't touched anything with it. But in any case, I do want to let everybody know that there's been periods today where our TV is locked up or the internet is kind of stopped for a second, and we believe it's due to the sun and all that good stuff. I don't know what else it would be doing it.
Stupid sun.
Yeah.
Football. Do a lot of people in your neighborhood watch college football?
No, that wasn't what it was, because I have real good bandwidth and everything.
I was just going to say high demand in your area for the internet.
It would be pulling it down if it did that. But anyway, any case, we're here. Everything's running smooth. We have a great show lined up for you tonight. And with that, I'm going to let Jeffrey introduce our guest.
Well, tonight's guest is one of our all-top favorites, Marla Brooks, paranormal investigator, author of 9 books, 4 on ghosts, 2 on magic, and 4 on cooking and television. Marla hosts Stirring the Cauldron here on Power-X on Thursday evenings, and while occasionally battling with Witch Hunter Canada Geese when visiting Hollywood Forever Cemetery, she's always welcome here at the Paranormal View. So welcome back, Marla Brooks.
Yay! Thank you, thank you.
And like Jeffrey said, we're always glad for Marla to drop by. She is a fan favorite everywhere, I believe.
Good thing it's not next week.
Huh?
Well, I'll be in Missouri next week filming the movie.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, it'd be nice if I got paid enough for it. It's almost like being an author. It's like,
yeah.
Well, don't do for our art, right?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. But it'll be fun.
Yeah. Well, tonight we're going to be talking somewhat about Marla's Oracle deck, Witch's Oracle deck, that she has devised. And I don't know if you have to sit around a cauldron when you're doing these or if you have to be riding a broom or something. Is there something special you have to do with them?
Yeah, pray that you get them right. That's about it. No, you don't have to do anything special. You just have to be creative. That's all.
Well, now, we have a guru here with us who also reads tarot and does all that kind of good stuff. Me, if it ain't got a king and a jack and an ace on it and some poker chips on the table, it doesn't do me much good.
Yeah, if it doesn't say Uno on it.
Yeah, something like that. I'm lost. But Barbara knows all about that, and I'm sure she's going to have a ton of questions for you, as I know some people that's in the chat room also said that they're going to be asking a bunch of questions. But I guess, what is the difference between an oracle deck and a tarot deck?
There are several, and Cece, jump in if I forget any, but I mean, the main thing is to me, and I'm going to really simplify this, is that they're a lot easier to work with. In the tarot deck, you have the major arcana, you have the minor arcana, you have like way many more cards, and you read them not only upright, but you also read the reversals. The pictures are more complex on a tarot card usually, so there's all these little other things in there that you can look at to try to get the message. Oracle is pretty much cut and dried. I mean, you know, I have a skull card, for example, and there it is. It's a skull. You know, that simple. You don't have to look for hidden meanings and stuff. And a lot of people use Oracle cards to make things really easy for them. They'll just like pull a card for the day or pull a card to answer a question or maybe do a three-card draw, you know, past, present, and future. Tarot has a million different spreads, and some of them are pretty numerous in cards to do. So, I don't know, I just, basically they're the same thing because they're divination cards, but it's just the reading and stuff seems to be a little bit easier, more user-friendly for people that haven't studied the tarot.
Now, are there some of the tarot decks that are more simplified and easier to read than others?
Yeah, there are. And there's some that I look at and I can't even figure them out. But again, by sheer numbers alone, you know, there are so many more cards in a tarot deck than an oracle deck. And to memorize everything, it's difficult. I mean, you know, my hat's off to people because sometimes when I'm doing tarot reading, I still need a cheat sheet if something comes up that I'm not used to. And there's correspondences that deal with astrology in there and all kinds of things. This is just simple. Pull a card, read the message, you're done. You know, it's pretty easy.
Now, I want to remind everybody, if you do have questions, you can private chat them to Ceiling Cat, Jeffrey Gould, Cat, or myself, and we will get those answered for you. So just throwing that out there. So with how many cards are in, I guess you might say, a regular tarot deck and an oracle deck?
Oracle decks vary. They average about 45 cards. And CC, I think it's 72. There you go. I knew it was something like that. Yeah. So, you know, when you flip, when you have to memorize 72 cards frontwards and backwards, that's 104 cards. You know, it's a lot harder. Mine, a lot easier.
Well, I was taught when I was taking the courses on magic in Belleville, New Jersey many years ago, my teacher, Vinnie Gaglione, said that the best way to learn tarot is to read as many books on it as you can while looking at the cards while, you know, you're going through. Right. I was taught on Rider-Waite. And then put them aside and never think about them again, because then it's like almost like a brain muscle memory.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, you don't have to memorize it like you're memorizing a script of lines or anything. You're just like, oh, there's the Ten of Swords.
Yeah, but, you know, some people get really deeper, depending on the deck, way deeper into it. You know, they'll throw in the astrology. They'll throw in six other things. They'll throw in, well, this compared to that means that, you know, it can get really complicated. And
they're just showing off.
And that too. But yeah, with this, it's just, it's user-friendly, you know, like a Mac. What can I tell you?
And then the person leaves more frustrated and confused than when they sat down.
Sometimes. Yeah, I mean, Cece reads the, you're still reading from the Toth, I can never say that word, Toth, right? Toth, yeah. Which is not an easy deck to read at all.
I guess it depends on the person. Like with Oracle, you find a deck that speaks to you, and it becomes easier to read from. Mm-hmm. For me, the Toth deck is the only one I'll use anymore, really, for reading, because it's I can understand it. I look at it and just go, no.
I started with the Robin Wood deck, because they said that was a really good beginner's deck, and it was easier than Rider-Waite, and I loved it. It kind of made things a little bit easier for me.
So what are the differences between, like, Robin Wood and the other deck sets, besides, I'm going to assume, illustrations?
Well,
When you say Toth, is that T-H-O-T?
T-O-H. T-O-T-H. Toth. I call it Toth.
Oh, okay, there it is. Aleister Crowley deck. Oh, Aleister
Crowley. Yeah, she's good. it's kind of interesting. But yeah, no, basically what they tell you, or at least how I learned, in addition to what Jeff said, was look at the pictures on each card. Take each card, take the time to look at it, and see what you see in it. Mm-hmm. And some of them are so intricately done that you could look for, 3 years and miss something there. And it might be something really important.
Oh, there's Waldo.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I think that's kind of the major difference. I mean, but they all have themes,
right.
And so, like she said, you have to find a deck that resonates to you, that calls to you, that would fall off the shelf, knock you in the head. Oh, this is the deck I'm supposed to have. And that goes for Oracle, too.
Yeah, but there are even decks based with Alice in Wonderland type art. And I think someone was designing a Doctor Who deck.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that do that.
There's a Hello Kitty deck, too.
Yeah.
And a Barb's deck, yeah.
Do we have a Oracle deck for baseball?
It could probably be made.
Yeah. Get a hold of Dianette Schiffer. They're doing lots of those. that's probably something. But yeah, for just about anything, there is a deck. But that's what really surprised me about doing my deck here, because, the thing came into my mind. I thought, a witch oracle. That's cool. There's lots of tarot witch decks. And so I started looking everywhere, and I couldn't find one witch oracle deck. And that really surprised me. So I figured, that's like validation that there's a need. And they seem to be, from what I gather, I go Google it and see what people say, just because I'm curious to see, what a dumb thing she did with the, that kind of thing. But people are saying, we got this deck. And these are some of the tarot sites that, that have discussion groups and stuff. And, they'll say, we got the deck and oh my God, we bought, half a dozen for the store, and they were sold in 30 seconds, and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. It's not, this has nothing to do with me, I don't think, except the artwork is really nice, but then I didn't do that either. Is that, there's a need. The pagan community didn't have their own witch oracle. And the other part of this, which makes it a little bit more unique than most oracle decks, or any that I've found, is that there's an incantation attached to each card. So for instance, if you pick a card that you really like the message for, and you want to kind of get it out to the universe that this is what needs to be done, there's this tiny little incantation that you recite as you hold the card in your hand, and that helps the intention of the card work a little better for you. So when I mentioned that to Dianette Schiffer, I said, I've got a spell for each card in incantation. She goes, oh my God, that's a great idea. Yeah. And it seems that, a lot of us witchy folks kind of like that.
Well, I was going to say that interesting thing between the Oracle decks and the tarot cards is that there are common symbols used. In the tarot, it's pretty much like a universal symbols for things. And when you define it to a witch's tarot deck or a witch's oracle deck, then you're using imagery that the pagan community can understand and relate to and resonate from. So it really does fulfill a void that really wasn't there before.
Yeah, and I wanted to do something that was easy for people, but there are a couple of like the art my artist Ania Khan, she is great. I loved her artwork. The minute I saw it, she uses deep, rich color and a combination of computer and hand-drawn things, and she's got a great eye. And so when you look at the deck, the colors just hit you in the face. They're the royal blues and the emerald greens and the ruby reds and things like that, which really make it nice. But I had to explain to her what some of the things were that she didn't know. But also, again, the skull. I didn't want it to be a scary deck. I didn't want it to fall into the stereotypical witch category. No warts on the cards, no, hooked noses, none of that. I just wanted to make it just, nice and simple. But a skull is something that we use, just like a lot of people do, for meditation or divination or something. And so I said, make it not a happy skull, because I didn't want it to be, silly. But I said, I want it to have roses around. I want it to have a band of roses around its head. And she did the greatest job. And we turned it kind of into the carpe diem skull, live for the day instead of, oh, you're going to die, And,
When I first saw that card, my first reaction to it was, oh, the Hamlet card.
well, that's true, yeah.
It's the remembrance of things past that, alas, poor Yorick, I knew him well.
Sure.
Where, yeah, it's like remember that person or remember that event from the past. So it's interesting how one card can have similar meanings to different people and still be very, very accurate.
And that's the whole thing, everybody is going to take different meanings from the different cards, and that's the beauty of it, because it kind of fits into everybody. And from what I'm told, see, when I was trying it out, I just kind of assumed that it worked well because I created it. It's like, okay, the child paying homage to the mom kind of thing. But the more people that were using it, and especially in the witch community, kept saying, oh my God, these are really powerful cards and they're so right on. And I'm like, I was just really impressed at the cards, not at me. I have nothing to do with this. But there's just something about this deck that seems to be pretty much right on for most people. Cece, I had you try them out. What did you think?
Well, see, that's what I was looking at. I got the pieces of paper out and was trying them,
Yeah, like I do.
but it works because you can get the imagery there. And although I didn't have the actual artwork before me, I did have what you were writing, and what you're writing made very much sense because I could use those words to invoke my own images. And that to me means it's accurate from the standpoint of I can relate to it. I can relate to, and I could relate to each one of those cards.
And the other thing is, and I was trying this, I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but I was doing a tarot reading, a sample one, just to, keep in with the thing. And I got something I didn't understand. And I thought, well, what's going to happen if I pull an oracle card for clarity? And it fit right into what the tarot reading was all about. So you can kind of use them together if you want. And that came as a surprise to me, because I had never heard of that happening. But me, well, let me see if that'll help. Duh. And it did. So yeah, it's really good for tarot people, because it can be used in conjunction with tarot decks.
And so almost like a like you say, either a clarification or a validation of what you were reading.
Surprise the heck out of me, Jeff.
I assume that because there's incantations with each card, that if you're doing a tarot reading for somebody, and it's like a blockage or something that they need to do, and you draw that oracle card, that would be the incantation for that problem.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, I believe we have a question from the chat room, right, Kat?
Yeah, we do. And Marcellus asks, is tarot dangerous to use?
I don't think it's dangerous to use. I don't. It's kind of like Ouija boards or any other form of divination. It's not the tool that's dangerous. It's the user.
Intention.
And the intention, exactly.
Of course, if Ricky J had it, you know, then it could be a deadly weapon.
Very true.
There you go. But no, I don't, you know, in divination, you just have to be careful no matter what it is, whether it's reading tea leaves or, you know, the Ouija board or tarot cards or using a pendulum or whatever. You have to know what you're doing. It's not a dog and pony show. It can be serious. And if your intention is honorable, if that's maybe a good word to put it, then you just kind of have to go into it with a positive feeling, positive energy, and it works that way. If you're going to go in there and be on the dark side of the left path, well, you know, you're going to conjure up more than you want to anyway, which is going to be too bad. So yeah, if you know what you're doing, no, it's not dangerous at all.
Okay. You guys, when you was chit-chatting, you guys answered about half of my questions, so
dang it.
Don't you hate when that happens, Henry?
Of course, Henry's other talent is asking a question the moment that either Kat, Barbara, and I are about to ask the exact same question. And he thinks he isn't psychic.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Henry is so psychic.
I am not.
You are. You are the one who saw all the shadow people at Hillview. I didn't see anything.
I only.
And you're like, I never see anything. Well, look, there's a shadow person leaving the morgue right now. Didn't you see it?
I said there's a shadow that went across. It wasn't in a shape.
Moving shadows or something
to
be.
What do you think a shadow person is?
I don't know.
A shadow person doesn't stand there like, maybe they don't see me.
Yeah, well, that's possible.
Like a little
that's
mannequin
I would
or
think.
Something. Well, I told you about the shadow person somebody saw at Linda Vista, right? I was attending. It was a public investigation. I was going floor to floor, and I came across these two young lady investigators who were just shaking out of their skin. And apparently they had – you've been to Linda Vista, right, Marla?
No. Is that odd? I have never been to Linda Vista.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah. It's done like a T. So you're looking down the main hallway, and you're looking down to where the nurse's stages is at the T junction. It goes to the left and the right, and it's completely pitch dark. There's no electricity except for like the Eskimo signs when we're doing investigations. So these girls had stepped into the main corridor, and they had flashed their flashlights down to the T junction, and they saw what their brains matrixed into being a table on its side because it was upright. And it had the two legs sticking out as though, you know, if it was a human, it'd be two arms sticking out. And they saw this black, you know, shape, and they thought, oh, it's a table, you know, because there's some old furniture, not a lot, but some. Mm-hmm. And then a few moments later, they shined their lights down there, and it was gone. And they just were having heart attacks about it. I'm like, oh, man, I missed it by how many minutes, guys?
Too bad. That would have been nice to see.
It would have been.
Wow. Well, now, a little later on in the show, probably sometime after last break, we're going to take a few calls if people would like to have a one-card reading from Marla's Witch's Oracle deck. So what you'll have to do is, if you're wanting something like that, you will have to send your name and phone number. Do you have to talk to them, or can they just give you a name and you do a reading for them?
No, you can just give a name. They don't, you know, they don't have to.
Just private message either Ceiling Cat, Jeff, or myself. Who did I miss? Cat?
Me.
Jeff?
It's me.
Yeah, okay. She was hiding. Give us your name, and do you need an age or anything like that?
No, huh?
Just name.
All right. Social Secure number, nothing.
Credit card information. No.
Just send us your name and that you'd like a reading, and we will be doing those a little later on.
If somebody just wants a card pull just to see generally what's going on, great. Or if they have a question.
Right. You know, one question. If you have a question, make sure you put that in with your message. So, let's see.
Now, Marla, was there any discussion with you and the artist on these cards as far as the imagery?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, everybody, she is not pagan. She didn't know a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And some she did. Some she looked up. There were a couple of things that needed to be tweaked. Just because, you know, she wasn't familiar, like the salamander card, she had drawn it black and white. Mm-hmm. Well, salamanders are supposedly, typically people think they jump out of the fire. That's because salamanders like sleeping in rotten logs. And so somebody will take the log and throw it on the fire, and the fire lights, and oy, out comes the salamander.
There goes my home.
Yeah, very surprised salamander.
Yeah, so people think, you know, that. So I suggested that we do that one in red, you know, for example. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, there has to be, but she was good at picking up stuff. She was good at looking on her own. Mm-hmm. You know, she found some really nice images. There were things that I kind of had to explain. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's when you're in partnership, there's always discussions back and forth. I mean, I got to okay the cards before we turned them in. Mm-hmm. And that's when, you know, with everything, you're going to end up doing tweaking. But,
yeah.
Well, also, what I noticed about these decks, it's interesting looking at them, they almost have a medieval type quality to them in that it's an image alone with a very stark background.
Pretty much, yeah.
And that really really sets the tone for the card as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking how much of that was your input in that you wanted the image to be the spokesperson and not all the background, say like in a Renaissance painting.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because it's the image that you need to concentrate on. The image is going to give you the message. The background is, you know, dressing. And it looks nice and she did it really well, but you know, that isn't all part of it. There's no hidden message in there. Like, you know, there is with
the tarot cards. Yeah,
exactly. Well, look at here, look under there, you know, tell that figure to, you know, lift up its arm, look in the armpit because there's a message under there, that kind of thing. You know, here it's just so simple.
Hey, it happens.
Yes, I know. And that's why you're the master, the mistress, and I'm just, you know, sitting here with an oracle deck. But, it's just the fact that, you know, you want to see what the card is and not have to worry about the minutiae or the other stuff that you might miss. And then, because, you know, when people read in general, they're always worried that they miss something or they're not getting it right or whatever. And this kind of brings it down to kind of, okay, there's a gargoyle. All right, nice gargoyle. Okay, nothing hidden, you know, nothing up his sleeve. He's not wearing sleeves. And then you just get on with the reading, with the message.
Which leads me that if you go just regular common person just goes and buys the witch's oracle deck, mm-hmm. and they sit down and start pulling cards and they're trying to see what they say in this net. Mm-hmm. Don't you have to have some sort of, training, you might say? I couldn't
they're
sit
not,
down.
They're not summoning the elder gods of H.P. Lovecraft.
No, but I mean.
No, there's a booklet that comes with it that pretty much fills you in on everything you need to know, from what to do when you first get the deck, how to, well, the three C's, cleansing, consecrating, and charging. You know, just how to do that. Because honestly, when you buy any kind of tool to use, whether it be a tarot deck or, you know, in the craft, whether it be a wand or whether it be a gemstone even, you don't know how many people have handled those things. You don't know what intention or what mood they were in while they were handling things. I mean, you need to cleanse the stuff, and you can, it's easy enough, just run it through sea salt, you know, and do them and charge them, you know, either with the full moon or whatever. But so the book that comes with this is really easy because that's what it talks about. It talks about what the deck does, what it's for, how to use it. I have to give a plug to Tim Shaw because he did the foreword of the book.
Yay!
And yes, and did a very good job.
How many times did he refer to himself? Oh, wait.
none, actually. Oh. I'm looking. No. Actually, he stuck to thing. But so, yeah, I mean, if you know nothing about it, you know, just read the little beginning about, you know, like I have a chapter called To Spread or Not to Spread, because a lot of people know, oh, you've got to do a spread. You've got to, you know, you've got to do the Celtic cross. You've got to do this and that. And some people don't do that. Some people just pull a card, like I said. And for those who are sticklers at needing a spread, I created two spreads. One looks like a witch hat, so that's the witch hat spread, and it tells you how to lay them out and what each position represents. And I also did the witch's broom spread, which, when, you know, put the cards down, looks like a broom or a besom. So, and then it talks about working with your cards, and then it has the meanings for each one, and the incantations go on with the meaning. So anybody can pick up this deck and do their own cards. Read their own cards. Yeah.
Wow.
Spreads and spreads. I can't believe it's not tarot. Oh, wait.
It's no schmear. You know, it's just spreads.
I think what we're going to do is go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, then we'll continue on. Kat will take us out. And right. Barbara will bring us back. How does that sound?
Sounds like a plan. Everyone, you are listening to The Paranormal View with your hosts Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, Barbara Duncan, and myself, Kat Klocko. Tonight, our guest is a fan favorite, the marvelous Marla Brooks, a tarot card reader, prolific author of The Paranormal, with books such as Workplace Spells, Animal Spells and Magic, and Ghosts of Hollywood, Volumes 1, 2, and 3, plus many more. More to come after the break.
Attention, attention. Humans of Earth, this is a message from Scar Hope. On tune to para-x.com for the paranormal view. Random sounds you call music is about to be generated for a period of approximately 500 rels, after which the paranormal view will resume. You are to stay tuned to prevent your being exterminated. Transmission ends.
It's always time for the dead to shine in Hollywood. The legendary Dearly Departed Tours has stepped up their ghostly game by offering a Legends Walking Tour. Dearly Departed has long been in the paranormal world, having been featured on television's Haunted History and Haunted Collector. Their terrible tales have been made infamous in Marla Brooks' The Ghosts of Hollywood books. The new Ghosts and Legends tour is a 10-block, 70-minute dusk-time stroll down the boulevard of broken dreams. You'll be guided through the golden age of Hollywood and see where the unearthly Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney, and the calamitous Black Dahlia are still said to linger. You'll see Hollywood's gothic hotels, legendary theaters, and restaurants, never forgetting their permanent occupants. No stranger to investigations, Dearly Departed Tours has first-hand knowledge of some of these hauntings. For details of the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour, find Dearly Departed Tours on Facebook, dearlydepartedtours.com, or call 1-855-600-DEAD.
Hi, I'm Mike from Mr. G's Ice Cream in Gettysburg. You're listening to The Paranormal View on Para X Radio Network.
I found it at last! Marla's Sacred Cauldron. This is the legendary artifact that has been whispered about in hushed tones for hundreds of years
Who dares defile the sanctity of my castle walls? Step away from the cauldron, you impertinent, muddy metal maltworm.
Never! I've spent half my lifetime trying to discover your age-old secret of stirring the cauldron!
Oh, for Merlin's sake, that's no deep, dark secret. Just tune into the Para-X Radio Network Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern for more cauldron stirring than you can shake a wand at.
Oh, well, in that case, I guess I don't need to take up any more of your time, so I guess I'll be going!
Not just yet. We've got a little unfinished business to take care of.
That's Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network.
You know, there's nothing like a great memory of a great time. And if you grew up during the 1950s, 60s, 70s, or 80s, boy, have we got the memories for you. There was no time more innocent than the 1950s or 60s, nor was there a time more politically explosive. Hi, this is Steve Shockley, a.k.a. The Shock. Join me live every Friday and Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern for a Baby Boomer Rock with a Shock Sock Hop on Rock with a Shock Radio.com.
Hi, I am John Zaffis, and you are listening to Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network.
Attention, attention.
Rat, where are you going?
I'm going back to the Paranormal View, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear...
Line.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, Kat Cloco, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Para-X Radio presents Real Persons of Genius.
Real Persons of Genius.
Today, we salute you, Mr. and Mrs. Para-X show host.
Mr. and Mrs. Para-X show host.
Armed with nothing more than a laptop and a microphone, you hit the air to scare the bejesus out of your audience.
What the hell was that noise?
Like a dog peeing on a fire hydrant, you always whet our appetite for more.
I just can't get enough.
Whether it's witches, ghosts, fairies, or Bigfoot, we admire your ability to set aside reality and believe anything anyone tells you.
Seek professional help.
So the next time you're kneeling in front of your 8x10 glossy of Dave and Tom lighting a candle, remember, if it wasn't for you, I might be able to sleep without the lights on.
Mr. and Mrs. Para-X Soho.
Para-X Radio Network, powered by CBS.
And welcome back, everybody, to the Paranormal View here on Para-X Radio. We want to thank you all for joining us tonight from in the chat room and from all around the world and listening in on all sorts of places. And tonight we have listeners in the United Kingdom, Australia, the United States, Canada. Unknown is back. Several unknowns are in there.
Wow.
What?
So many big feet.
Yeah, they're bringing them in from all over now.
Yeah, yeah, really.
A good
Oh no, I got it. It's Snarlygaster, Dweo, and Bigfoot.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll work.
Mothman.
And Mothman. Oh, he's my favorite.
Because they all want to hear about our guest Oracle deck, Miss Marla Brooks and her Witch's Oracle.
Well,
she's there.
Marla.
Yeah, I am. I'm just trying to think of a witty retort to that, but I decided not to.
She's flabbergasted.
Yeah, I'm flabbergasted. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hoffman listens to the show.
I'm ducking. I've got the fly swatter out.
Now, Kat, you were saying in the private chat there, we had people calling the Paranormal View show or something like that with requests.
No, it's actually on the Parrot. You can go to the Facebook or the Twitter, and you can ask questions there too. And we actually have someone wanting a card reading.
Really?
On the Parrot X chat Facebook page.
All right. Now that is cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
People are getting through.
So do you have who they are, the name?
I do. Marla, are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay. This is from Lisa. And okay. Lisa would like to know about changes to her career that are coming and how quickly they might happen.
Okay. Let me just kind of shuffle here and yank something out and see what comes up. Okay. The card I drew was the bat. And the bat, as we know, is kind of a very highly sensitive creature to its surroundings, and it's considered a symbol of intuition and dreaming and vision. And when the bat appears in a reading, it's a message about communication. It's a message about releasing fear and any pattern that no longer fits in with, you know, your lifestyle, your process of growth or whatever. So I'm going to take that right off the bat and say that, you know, there's probably a little bit of worry on your part because, you know, if you're normal like the rest of us, change is scary. It just really is. But from this card, you kind of take the fact that old is not suiting the new opportunities that are soon going to be coming your way. And when it's soon, I'm saying within the next month or two. And this card talks about new beginnings. It talks about trusting your instinct. And it says that the intuitiveness of the bat allows you to see through illusion and discover truths on your way to where you're going to be.
Very good. Now, if you are listening, like over on the Facebook site, feel free to come over to para-x.com, click on the live chat button, and be in with all these other wonderful people. And you'll have a good time in here too. So, don't just stay away because you might think it's a bad place. It's not, it's a great place. Which is a good reading. And you say there's lots of others with questions also?
Not yet.
Oh, I thought
there was one.
Oh,
but people are listening in from all over the place.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, you don't have to be in the chat room, but if you want to interact with people, you can. Otherwise, we are available to contact through Twitter and through Facebook.
And
the Gmail account.
And the Gmail account. That's the paranormalview@gmail.com. And also on our regular site, theparanormalview.com. Mm-hmm. So with that, excellent. And, of course, we have the lovely Marla Brooks with us, who is always a pleasure.
Yes. Marla, if I can ask you, because I'm sure you snuck a lot of learning in those cards too, because I'm looking at a lot of them, and there's an awful lot of information you can delve about the pagan community and about the craft in those cards if you delve into them.
Yeah, you know, I was just, when we did the booklet, I was just going to put the meanings of the cards and as far as what they have to do with the reading. And Dinah, our fearless leader over at Schiffer, suggested that might be a little bit better or more interesting to put a little bit more about each symbol before we get into the reading. And she was absolutely right, because when you start reading that, it kind of fits in as you go down and get to it. Like, you know, the bat being intuitive and the bat being very highly sensitive and all that stuff. It worked really well. So, yeah. And, you know, everybody that listens to my show and has known me for a while knows that, you know, I'm always kind of like digging a little teaching in always. You know, the kind of education that doesn't make you feel like I'm going to throw a pop quiz at you, but I'm usually throwing a little bit of stuff in there just so, you know, can't hurt to learn a little bit.
And if you don't pay attention, she will put you in a corner.
No, because dunce caps actually are like witch caps. And
I didn't say they'd give you a dunce cap.
There's no point in going to the corner without a dunce cap. I mean, that's just like, you know, going to the barber and having a bald head, you know.
You can always do like they used to do us. Draw a little circle on the wall, make you put your nose in it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Sir.
That's interesting.
Oh, kidding.
I got put things on the fence.
Yeah.
If I was bad. You got put on the fence, which you had to just lean up against this fence.
Really?
It doesn't sound as terrifying, or it sounds more terrifying.
I take it you don't mean try and balance on the top.
No, you had to not even lean up. You had to stand next to during recess and watch all the other kids play.
In snow, rain?
Yeah, snow, rain. If you were out, if recess was outside, you had to stand out there the entire time.
Wow.
Wow.
Poor thing. I feel sorry for you.
Well, you got your nose up against a wall. At least you were outside.
I'm sorry. That just gives me such a silly mental picture. It really does.
Too.
Good thing somebody doesn't walk up behind you and smack you in the back of the head.
So, yeah. Have we had anybody that's actually requested a reading yet from the chat room here?
Not from chat, or at least not to me yet.
Okay. Well, if you do want a one-card reading from Marla, you can private chat it to Ceiling Cat, Jeffrey Gould, Cat, or myself, and we will get those right over to Marla. All we need is your name. And if you have a specific question that you want to ask, you can do that. Until then, Marla is going to show us a little bit about, other than the one she just did, about how these things work, because we have some people that would like to find some different things out, and I would presume that Kat would probably be one.
Oh, yeah. I'm always curious.
You're a cat, and you have 9 lives, so it doesn't matter what I say, right? I mean, I don't know how many you've used up yet.
Yeah, I don't know how many I've used up yet.
I should preface it by saying that, but, you know.
Yeah. No, I'm always curious about the future of just my artwork, really, where it's going to take me, if it's anywhere.
Yeah, we always have that big if, right?
Yeah, there's always that huge if.
Yeah. I don't know. That word was invented just to torment people, I think. Because it never gives them a good definitive answer.
It's not solid.
Yeah.
It's not a solid thing. You can't latch to an if.
No, if is kind of, you know, wishy-washy.
Yeah.
And it's kind of negative, in the, you know, because they always say, well, don't say I hope, just say I know. You know, and it's like, don't say if, say when.
Yes.
And so it kind of, it takes away from the positive attitude that probably should be had.
Yeah.
When talking about something.
It reminds me of that Yoda quote.
Which one?
The Yoda quote. There is no try. There is only do.
Yes.
There is no try. Do or do not. There is no try.
Yeah. I'm not great at quoting things from memory. So thank you guys.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I just pulled a card for you, and we got the pentagram. And, you know, people go, they watched too many Hollywood movies. But the pentagram is actually a very ancient symbol, and a lot of people see it as a symbol of faith and protection. But it goes beyond that. I mean, the upward point of the star represents spirit. The other 4 points all represent the elements, the earth, the air, the fire, water. And they are circled with a ring, which is kind of a never-ending thing.
Mm-hmm.
So earth represents stability and physical endurance. Fire depicts courage and daring. Water is emotion and intuition. Air relates to intelligence and the arts. And spirit represents deity. And the circle, you know, in also instead of just doing continuity, it also represents a flow of life and energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so when this card comes up in a reading, It's a really simple, simple message. It's mind over matter, mind and spirit over matter. In other words, any obstacles that are in your way can easily be removed. So it's kind of like telling you whatever you want this to be or how you want it to turn out, it's in your lap.
Nice.
So, yeah, I mean, the only thing that's holding you back is you, basically.
And the regular Tower of the Pentacles are also called can also be called coins, and they're generally referring to prosperity.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for that, Jeff, because that's true.
The ball is in my court.
Yeah, the pressure's on now, lady.
Yeah. Yeah, the pressure was on me today as I formatted 53 pages.
Whee! You can't blame me.
No, I can't.
Better than formatting your hard drive by accident. Oops.
Oh, that'd be bad. Did you do that?
On my first computer, yep. Oh. Didn't know what it meant. You know,
didn't surprise. Know what it meant.
No, so I had to bring it back to the store and say, what did we do wrong? Oh, you did the wrong thing.
You did the wrong thing.
Oh, speaking of formatting, Marla, here's a really good question for you, which is, what do you feel about the online tarot?
That is a good question.
I'm kind of ambivalent about it because, you know, we all go check it out, right? I mean, it's just, it is. I think it's how you look at it because, yeah, okay, it's not a person, but there was a person that programmed it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to look at it that way and then just believe in what you see, I think it's fine. I don't think it's, you know, something, because most of them don't charge. I mean, you know, they're usually games. Here, you know, look at here, pick a card, any card, look, nothing up my sleeve kind of card. So I think they're okay, but I think that to hold a deck in your hand or to have a reading by somebody else face to face, the energies affect the outcome of the reading as well. You can't do that when you're looking at a computer screen necessarily. Mm-hmm. Too much energy, you might blow the screen up. And there have been people that did that. But beyond that, I think it is more something to not believe in as hard as if you're doing it yourself or somebody's doing it for you. But I don't think it's bogus necessarily.
Taking into account, of course, doing through a computer, it's almost through a random number generator as to which card comes up. So it's just as random as picking a card from a physical deck.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And people don't have access to a reader or a deck and want to do that, you know, it's not going to tell them to, you know, climb on a bridge and jump off or anything. I mean, they're fairly safe in that respect.
That would be the onion deck, I think.
That would be the onion deck, exactly.
Or Cards Against Humanity's deck.
Now, yeah. And my other question for you is the age-old question, controversial as it may be.
Oh, the chicken and the egg.
To reverse or not to reverse?
I don't see a point in it in the Oracle deck. I can see, because it's even controversial, you know, for Tarot. Well, is the reversal have the same meaning and just kind of not as good, or is the reversal opposite of what the upright card would be? I mean, people will fight battles over how they determine and interpret what reversals mean. I mean, I got a book on tarot reversals and I kind of think, okay, well, it's kind of, you know, it's like the World card when it's reversed. It's not so bad. It's just not as good, you know. And if the Sun card reversed, okay, it's not bright and sunny, but there's a little bit of a sun coming through the cloud. So, you know, it's all how you read it. But for this deck, I want to keep it simple. I want everybody to be able to pick up this deck and use it without worrying about A, messing up, B, interpreting it wrong, you know, C, throwing their hands up and saying, oh, I can't do this, I'm not, whatever. you know, it just, when we were growing up, guys, all of us, what did we do? We looked at our horoscope every day, right? It's just you kind of want to know what's going on if you can get a heads up somewhere. And astrology back in the 60s and the 70s and even the 80s, you know, was kind of the in thing to do. So
back in the 70s, our local newspaper had the horoscopes on the front page, on the bottom.
Wow.
They were, you know, they were just, you know, written. It wasn't big or splashy. It's just like you look down and they'd have, you know, just a list of the things. And it would be like a one sentence thing, you know, you're not going to die today kind of. But you were saying about reversals, harking back to Vinny when I was learning tarot, was his version of tarot is it doesn't really predict anything. It indicates here's where you're standing in your life and the direction you're facing. It's up to you to what direction to move from there. And he says it's like a roadmap. And do you look at a roadmap upside down?
No, good point. I say the same thing. It isn't, you know, nothing is carved in stone. I don't care if you get a tarot reading or you look at the oracle deck or you go to a medium or a psychic or whatever. Nothing is carved in stone. What they are telling you, do not take as gospel, take as guidance. And if you don't like it, you don't have to accept it. But so many people are afraid of, you know, cards, or they're afraid to have a reading done because they think somebody's going to say, okay, well, a week from Tuesday, your left index finger is going to fall off.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, quick, get the sonic screwdriver, right? But what you need to understand is, suppose somebody tells you that, okay, well, then if you know it's coming, then you're a little bit more careful and you're not going to let it fall off. You know, we write our own books. We write our own scripts. Things get in the way and problems and stuff come up that we have to wander around about and whatever. But no matter what anybody tells you, you know, that's not the way your book has to end, or, you know, for that day or that week or whatever. Just don't. Nothing is carved in stone.
And the way I look at it, the tarot is finely balanced. And if you look at it, there are reversals in other cards. So that you have one card and in another suit will be a reversal. So it's balanced. And what I love about your oracle deck is that it's balanced the way I look at the very ancient runestones, in that it goes through the full spectrum of human consciousness in a way, in that there's the bad, there's the good, there's the, you know, you really need to work on this stuff, cards. Mm-hmm. And there's that lovely little kick in the butt card that everybody needs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But just, you know, don't believe that, you know, and that's why these cards don't come right out and say anything, you know, specific. It's the interpretation when I'm telling you what they say, how you take it is how it works. And again, if you don't like it and you think, oh no, that I no way, then change it. God gave us free will, so we should use it.
Now there's a lot more than just tarot cards that people does, like you have the astrology things in the paper. People would cast lots. They do tea leaf readings. It's just on and on and on. And a lot of that is, I guess, the interpretation of the one who is doing the reading.
Well, yeah. I mean, if somebody is doing it for you, they aren't going to give you what they see and what they feel, or, you know, whatever the message is. But again, you know, Cece and I and you, Henry, and Kat, Jeff, we can all look at the same card. Let's say there's a card that's not in my oracle deck or in a tarot deck. We've just come up with a brand new card. Somebody did. And there's no explanation on it. There's no cheat sheet on it. There is a picture with other stuff on it. Now, if we all take the card and go into separate rooms and look at the card and write down what we see, or what we feel that card is about, or what it's telling us, I pretty much guarantee that we're going to have five different versions. Some may be a little bit similar, but we're not all going to see the same thing.
It's true. Almost like the old story of the blind man and the elephant?
Kinda.
What happened? The guy was blind, the elephant sat on him?
No, there was. It's an old fable of these five blind men who each are touching an elephant, and one is touching the ear, one is touching the trunk, the leg, the tail. So they all have different interpretations of what it looks like. Mm-hmm. One thinks it's a huge snake. The other thinks it's a huge fan. The other thinks it's a small rope.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's all the same one thing.
Exactly.
Just attached. Yeah, pretty good. So, let's see. We still got a few more minutes. Do we have anybody from the chat room requesting anything yet? No?
Nope, not yet.
All right.
But Tabby's in the chat room. Hi, Tabby.
Hi, Tabby. Hi, Mia.
So, Marla, which card, when you look at deck, because I know people kind of tune in to one or two very strong symbols, which ones are your favorites, or do you have them?
Well, I kind of do, and I kind of have some that I'm, you know, not as crazy about, but that's human nature and interpretation. I really like the witch card itself. That's kind of like the strongest of all the cards. And I kind of like the chalice, because that's kind of a sweet, gentle card. Let me think. Oh, the skeleton key. I love the skeleton key.
Yeah.
And Naomi Watts was great in that. Oh, wait.
And let me think. There's got to be a couple others that I really... Oh, the gargoyle, of course. How could I forget the gargoyle? And she did a great job with the spider. She did a wonderful job with that spider. And of course, the skull. I like the skull because it's, you know... It's not Casper the Friendly Ghost. It's, you know, whatever his name, the Friendly Skull. So
and it's interesting because I find those very watery cards.
Yeah?
Very intuitive, very feminine cards.
Yeah. I guess created by a femme and drawn by a femme. Yeah.
But water, I mean, you know, water, very intuitive, lunar almost in nature.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's just weird because, you know, somebody in one of the forums that I read said, well, she's got like Egyptian symbology in there. She's got like a scarab and, you know, the Ankh. And I'm thinking, well, we use those. You know, I mean, it's not everything comes out of a cauldron here. You know, we use lots of symbology. I mean, you know, the unicorn, so the mystical creature, and I've got a hippogriff card and a Chinese dragon. I mean, it's all across the board, but it's because and also a dream catcher, and it's because the practice that I do is across the board. We take from other cultures and religions or whatever you want to call it and use them as well, because it's kind of just a nice blend, a nice comfortable blend. Doesn't all have to be brooms and wands and, you know, whatever. Because the symbology, like the phoenix. I mean, what a great card to pull. If you get the phoenix card, I mean, it's cut and dried about what it's about. It's about rising from the ashes, you know, and it's a great card of hope and determination and, you know, get up and rise again like the phoenix. So really simple stuff. And people say, well, what does a bird have to do with witchcraft? You know, that kind of thing. You get it all the time. So I just tried to get about as across the board as I could.
And also there are various, all magic isn't Celtic.
That's right.
It goes through the Babylonian, the Egyptian, the Far Eastern cultures as well. So I think everybody borrows from it too. I don't know of very many pure groups anymore.
Well, no, I don't think so. And, you know, a lot of people really, I've noticed this, there's a great, great similarity between shamanism and witchcraft, because it's basically earth-based. And if, you know, talking like Willie Windwalker, for example, or something, or, you know, Tim will talk about some of the people that he knows that are shamans. And the practice is so very much so close that... it's kind of amazing because it's really basically the nitty-gritty down to earth kind of stuff. You know, no hocus pocus. It's just like logic. You know, honor the earth, honor Mother Earth, that kind of thing. It's just very, very cool.
and the duality of nature, male and female, combined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I think we're going to go ahead and take another quick break. Want to remind everybody, if you are wanting a one-card reading from Marla with her Witch's Oracle deck, then you need to send us a message to either Ceiling Cat, Jeffrey Gould, Cat, or myself with your name, and we'll get those done. If you have a specific question, make sure you put that in there. If you're listening from somewhere else and not here in the chat room, you can still send us a message to or a question to theparanormalview@gmail.com, and we will get that right over. Just make sure you put your question in there and your name, and we'll get those in. With that, we're going to take a quick break. Jeff will take us out, and Barbara will bring us back, and then we'll continue. So if you do want a reading, make sure you get those in right away. Jeff?
Yep. Well, you're listening to The Paranormal View on para-x.com with your hosts, Henry Foister, Kat Kloko, Ceiling Cat Barbara Duncan, and myself, Jeffrey Gould, with tonight's always wonderful guest, Marla Brooks. So stay tuned for more of The Paranormal View after the break.
Hi, this is Mike from Mr. G's Ice Cream Store in Gettysburg, the most haunted ice cream store in town. Stop in and see us next time you're around. We feature 16 flavors of homemade ice cream made right here in the store. Look forward to seeing you.
Don't go away. The Paranormal View will be right back.
Everyone,
we're back, baby.
That's right, we're back. Hi, I'm Pat McCormick, and Ghost Soldiers Radio is back. We're teaming up with The Shock on Rock with The Shock Radio, and we are on a mission.
We're on a mission from God.
A mission to play great music and have fun.
God be praised.
Ghost Soldiers Radio starts May 16th at 10 p.m. on rockwiththeshock.com.
Hey, kid, you like music?
Sure.
Good.
So if you like music, join us as we move on up. Saturday, May 16th at 10 p.m.
Well, we're moving on up.
Moving on up.
To the east side.
On up.
To a dealer's apartment in the sky.
So join us May 16th at 10 p.m. for Ghost Soldiers Radio. Only on rockwiththeshock.com.
We finally got a piece of the pie.
Ghost Hunters Case Log 451. The time? Thursday, 8 p.m. Okay, we're going to start an EVP session. Is there anyone out there? Can you repeat that? I really need you to try to project louder and slower so we can all hear.
The Black Cat Lounge.
That's right, gang. Listen in. The Black Cat Lounge every Thursday night, 8 o'clock on Para X.
Hi, this is Hollywood Hunt writer Marla Brooks, and you're listening to the Para X Radio Network.
Hi, I am John Zaffis, and you are listening to Paranormal View on the Para X Radio Network.
So, you had a lucid dream about living in Atlantis, teaching telepathy, and you're wondering what it means. We can actually help. We are the School of Metaphysics. A 40-year-old international resource for people who have questions. Big, juicy, deep questions about life and death, and everything in between. 16 branches in the U.S., self-guided study online, weekend courses, webinars, and books. Send us a telepathic fax or visit our website, www.som.org. This could be the start of something really interesting.
Shows are paranormal, not stuffy but informal. The topics are abnormal, the Parax family.
They're strange, deranged, unrestrained.
So grab your favorite brew, it's time to rendezvous, as we give awards to the Parax family.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Paranormal View here on ParaX Radio. We want to thank you all for joining us tonight, and it's been wonderful talking to our lovely, lovely guest, Marla Brooks. Welcome back, Marla. Oh, witchy-boo.
She's riding a broom somewhere. Twitched her nose. Wait a minute. Let me check. Is she still here?
I'm still here.
Oh.
There she is.
How weird is that?
Yeah. Where'd you go to?
I don't know. I didn't even have my invisibility cloak on or anything.
I didn't give you long enough?
No, I've been sitting right here minding my business. And no, I can go really fast if I have to. Just so you know. I'm an old pro at that.
Welcome back, everybody. Have we gotten anybody yet wanting a reading or questions or anything?
Nope.
Okay. Then, here's what we're going to do. Jeffrey needs to have a reading.
Well, let me see if I can... Yeah, the TARDIS would be fun to come up. I should have had a TARDIS card, but however... It's just not quite fitting in. I think
I'm house sitting for my friends, and I thought I was going through their. They have a new cable company, and I'm like, oh, they have BBC America. That's awesome. And it turns out I went to the channels like, if you'd like to subscribe to the BBC America channel, oh, yeah, oh no. So I still have to wait for the second half of the. Story.
I know it's Saturday night.
Jeez. I know, and it was a cliffhanger. It's a two-parter, and tonight's the second part. And I gotta wait till.
Whoa! Like,
and it's about ghosts.
I know.
Ooh.
And yeah, it's a cliffhanger.
I gotta watch it, and I gotta check the time again. Scott Michaels is doing. He's gonna be on Ghost Adventures tonight.
Yeah.
And so I gotta see what time one is on and what time the other one is on. And record one of the two.
Oh, I was going to watch more of the Walking Dead marathon. I didn't know he was on Ghost Adventure. I'll have to tune that in.
Yeah, they did a thing up at the Hollywood sign, so he didn't spend the night. But for people that live in L.A. or don't live in L.A., it's nearly impossible to get anywhere near the Hollywood sign.
And they have motion detectors. They're pretty big about that.
They are. And... Griffith Park actually opened the doors for Zach and crew, and they spent the night at the home.
Wow!
Yeah.
It's supposed to be very haunted, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that was...
At least one suicide, so...
That's the premise of the show tonight. They're talking about Peg Entwistle, who jumped off the H, aspiring actress whose career didn't go quick enough for her.
Depends on what... Some people say she jumped off the D when it was still Hollywood land.
Well, that could be. That gave her a whole...
It was a 13th letter.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a rumor that she was going to get a job offer 2 days after she...
It was something like a contract was in the mail to her that she didn't know about.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where I was at when Scott was on my show this week. I said, well, didn't, you know, wasn't, you know, the thing where 2 days later her uncle got the mail that she, you know, jumped a little prematurely.
Yeah, horrible irony.
Did this
now,
one.
Marla, I know you know Scott, and I know that he's gone to the Cecil Hotel.
Oh.
And I'm wondering what your take and what his would be on American Horror Story.
I don't know. He was, He, you know, Scott is nothing if not blunt. I mean, there's no other way I can put it. And he, I saw one of his posts on Facebook, and he said, and he's been a big fan of American Horror all along.
Oh, did he notice me in season two?
Probably. I don't know. We should ask him. No. We should send him a clip. But he did write, and I don't know if he's changed his mind or not. So in all fairness, I just have to say what he wrote in Facebook then. But he said, given the cast, he's not too interested in this season. And I don't know why he said that, because the cast is pretty – I think maybe Lady Gaga or something.
Turn him off or something.
Yeah. Right. But, yeah, I don't know. And you know what? I should have poked you, Cece, to ask him that question when he was on my show last week. Yeah. That was a good one. Mm-hmm. That was a very good one.
Now, have you been to the Cecil Hotel?
No, I haven't. No.
I only just kind of found out about it. There were some articles that I pulled aside that I'm going to post on the Paranormal View page. It's rebranded itself called Stay on Main.
It is a horrible brand.
Yeah, so that's going to really – everyone's still going to know what it is. But their website, of course, gives no indication of anything paranormal. It's just like, hey, we're a hotel. Come stay.
Well, they had – I guess the locals in that area call it the Suicide. That's their nickname for the building, because there's so many deaths. But the weird, like the most bizarre one was the one just a few years ago with the Canadian citizen.
Oh my God, with that video?
Yeah, and that's actually how I knew about the Cecil years ago, was because of Elise, I just can't remember her last name, but... because of her death and just what it could have meant for mental health, what it could have been paranormal maybe, but it's bizarre nonetheless. And the people discovering her because the water tasted funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just sit there and I'm like, oh, that is a coroner's worst nightmare.
Oh, that's anybody's worst nightmare.
This tastes like suicide.
Yeah.
Well, there was apparently a tuberculosis outbreak right after the discovery of her in the water tank in Hollywood, in that area.
Well, so, the water tank is just for the hotel, but
it's in downtown Los Angeles, outside of Hollywood proper.
Yeah, pretty bad.
But Marla, your Ghosts of Hollywood books only cover movie stars.
Well, not exactly. There are places, you know, like Bordner's Bar and Yamashiro Restaurant and the Formosa Cafe, places like that. You know, there are locations as well. Some of the book stories are age old and very famous ones. And then I just threw in, and we went to investigate the ones that weren't necessarily investigated like a bazillion times. So tried to cover all bases there, but you know, it's hard. I could do four more Ghosts of Hollywood books, you know. I mean, there's
at least
there's, for a little incorporated town, right, Jeff? There's a whole lot of stuff going on. So I pulled a card for you, Jeff. And I was paying attention to what he said, but the card that you got actually was the Witch's Circle. And, you know, for those who might not know, the Witch's Circle is something that we create before a ritual to provide a safe haven, you know, for the purpose of working magic. And they say that the circle exists outside the boundaries of ordinary space and time and between the worlds of the seen and the unseen. And I love stuff like that.
It's the TARDIS!
It's timey-wimey.
It is, honest to God. And it's kind of like a space where alternate realities meet. So, you know, space is a key word here. I mean, we all kind of need to find our own sacred space at times. And we as pagans are kind of lucky, because most people have to go to a church for a sacred space, a place to worship. And we kind of carry it on our backs, because we can cast a circle anywhere. So we're like turtles. Our home or our sacred space comes with us wherever we go. And when and in general, a circle, you know, kind of represents unity and completion and continuity and wholeness and protection and the whole thing, like we were talking about earlier. So when this card comes up, Jeff, it's kind of saying like, whether you create a circle physically or mentally, you know, you need to call upon it whenever you feel the need for a safe haven to kind of soothe the sometimes harsh effects of the world around you. I guess it's a card kind of almost of comfort, you know, telling you what to do to just kind of step out for a while and regroup, you know, jump into your own circle. And it's like your security blanket. It's a pagan security blanket, you know, like Linus and Charlie Brown. So you need to do that because your life is hectic and, you know, it's not like most of us, it's not always going uphill. You know, we keep falling into potholes every now and again.
Oh, yeah.
But it's important to have that sacred space and use it because sometimes we don't, you know. We'll be down the rabbit hole and can't figure out a way to get up and never even think of doing that. And the incantation, I'll read you the incantation for this one because it's really simple, but it really kind of concise. It says, my sacred space is with me wherever I go. It's the one thing I will never outgrow. I open the circle whenever need be. It is my shelter and I hold the key. So, yeah, I mean, it's just kind of like you're not using it enough. You're not, you know, jumping into your safe zone. You're not running into your room of requirement.
Yeah. Jump into your TARDIS more, Jeff.
Yeah. Really. Well, I kind of do. I mean, it's the only way to keep me sane considering I'm trying to avoid homelessness. I've had a number of people help me with the GoFundMe campaign I've got, but you know, it's, I'm not the only person hurting, obviously. So, you know, but I thank very much everybody who's been able to assist so far.
I think when you jump into that space and do some meditation while you're in there and call out to the universe, probably more than you're doing. Because it's human nature to kind of, when things get that bad and when we get scared, and I know exactly what you're going through, we tend to withdraw. We tend to clam up. We tend to get bitter or angry or, you know, melancholy or any of the above. And people in general overlook the fact that if you talk to the universe and you put it out there, what you want, and if you do it, you know, with a strong intent, you may not get exactly what you want, but they will give you what you need, which is actually more important because sometimes we overlook the need for the want. Mm. So, you know, instead of kind of, you know, this is where I'm at and, oh my God, what am I going to do? And I'm worried and blah, 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 blah. Put it out there. You know, you don't have to aim it at anybody. You don't have to pick a particular deity unless you want to. You know, but say, this is what I need. Please hear me. Please help me and get it out there. And that, I found, has made all the difference in the world. So, here you go.
We do have a request from the chat room.
Okay.
Rookie would like a card, just a general reading, meaning.
Okay. I will shuffle them up. Getting to be such a good shuffler. And that's the other thing. While I'm shuffling, I'm going to mention this, that, you know, a lot of tarot decks, a lot of oracle decks are huge. They're big. They don't fit your hand. And I mean, I've had decks that I've had to throw on a table and mush around and put them back in order to even get them shuffled. This deck is so hand fit. I mean, they're probably just a little bit bigger than playing cards, a little bit wider. But they're really comfortable to shuffle and, you know, really kind of, they have a good feel when you're doing it. So
and that's important.
Yeah, it is.
It really, people, I don't want to make light of it because when you're trying to shuffle cards, some of them are so large and unwieldy that, or tiny, that it's hard to shuffle, and you spend more time focusing on that than you do on the actual question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. All right, so for Ricky, I picked up the Merkaba. Now, I don't know if everybody knows what that is, but it's a very powerful symbol. It's a combination of two-star tetrahedrons. One is pointing up to the heavens, channeling energy down from the universe to the earth plane. One is pointing downwards, drawing energy up from the earth beneath. I've got little Merkabas here, little stars, and they're just gorgeous. And they're... You have to look at one. I can't even explain it, but they're really neat. But the Merkaba, it's really a divine light vehicle. It's allegedly used by ascended masters to connect with and reach those in tune with higher realms. Its crystalline energy field is comprised of specific sacred geometries that align the mind, the body, the heart together, and that enables us to experience expanded awareness, connects us with elevated potentials of consciousness, and it restores access and memory of the infinite possibilities of our being. That being said, the message of the Merkaba is pretty simple. Your motivations are the foundation for what you want to manifest in life. And if those motivations are based in fear and limitations, that's going to be all you're going to get. But if you're motivated by your heart and your true inner power, there are no limits, and abundance will be yours. So, Rookie, you just have to look at things the way you want them and drop the fear, drop the, you know, worry and the limitations, because there are no limitations in this world. People, you know, that live in the black and white, yeah, they run into walls a lot. But I always, and people have heard me say this 1,000 times, I live in the gray where it's a lot of possibilities. And so that's what you need to do. You just need to get out there, be motivated by your true inner power, and know that nothing can stand in your way. And you'll get what you want.
All right. Very good. I got another one now from the chat room. It's Tabby. She would like for you to pull a card for her, too.
Okay. And Tabby also asked me earlier, she sent me a note in chat, the difference between, I think, witchcraft and Wicca. Now I got to find it again. Wicca and witchcraft. Wicca is a form of witchcraft. Wicca is a religion, an earth-based religion. Some people, I don't know if anybody else has heard this, Jeff, maybe you have, that they're making witchcraft a religion now, or they're considering witchcraft to be a religion.
It is a religion. It's always been a religion.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
Like, you mean recognized?
Recognized religion, like Wicca, you know, because we know the armed forces recognizes Wicca now, Wiccans.
Well, Wicca tended to be a word not only taken from the Gardner's definition of it, where they revitalized witchcraft, but it sounded less scary than the term witchcraft, because when you hear witchcraft, you go negative PR, as opposed to Wicca, which is all fluffy bunny and rainbows and unicorns. and whereas witchcraft is simply the same thing with a different name, it's like you say, it's nature based. It's to do no harm, you know, to others, because it'll come back at you anyway. Essentially, that, you know, Wicca was just sort of like a softened name for it.
So, well, you know, the do no harm thing, we need to address that for a second, because...
Well, I don't mean take the punch. I mean, you're definitely something on the other sheet.
No, but what I'm saying is that there are a lot of people that believe that they need to do harm to do good. I mean, we are all different. You know, I believe in karma. I'm not going to slap myself up the head. You know, no way. I'm not going to do anything to harm. But you have to admit, too, there are people like... Somebody, if somebody that you loved was being hurt by somebody else physically, you would jump in.
Oh, yeah.
Do something. So,
but that's defending somebody else's, you know.
Exactly.
They can't do it themselves, right?
But people are still thinking, well, and do no harm. Well, doing no harm, if somebody's trying to murder somebody you love and you go and murder that somebody... Some people would say, well, he did harm. He killed somebody. So, you know, it's all kind of an interpretation. And there are people that just don't have that fear of karma and retribution and, you know, the law of three and stuff like that. They don't. But So we can't say that, you know, it's all love and light and whatever, because we all have a certain point that we would cross. I mean, if somebody went and grabbed your cat and tried to hang him on a tree, God, that didn't even mean to say that. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, but that would be definitely somebody would die for that. I mean,
that's
what
I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. We all have a point where the line might be crossed.
Yeah.
But, you know, conversely, I mean, like I said, you, me, and everybody that I hang out with, probably everybody that you hang out with in the craft, believe in not harming, not doing any harm, doing good. So, but we can't just across the board say, you know, because even Wiccans will cross the line. Even fluffy bunnies will cross the line if their little babies are in trouble, kind of thing. But anyway, okay, I digress. Tabby's card I got was the witch hat. And the symbolism of the hat, kind of like the sorcerer's hat, it was kind of created like a pyramid, you know, which is a shape which is known to raise frequencies. And remember, everybody was crawling under pyramids years ago. And so the big brim of the witch's hat symbolizes the magic circle. The tall, pointy part represents the cone of power. And the witch's hat is traditionally black, symbolic of the crone goddess, the dark half of the year, and the occult mysteries. In a reading, this card indicates that your senses right now are heightened, and you have the ability to tackle and solve those issues that have been nagging at you. The wisdom of the hat is coming to you. And this isn't a bad thing, but you might have noticed lately that you're kind of a magnet for people who need advice. And that people have been coming to you a lot. So, you know, use that because that's helpful. Do that, you know, what you need to do. But you're just really sharp right now, and you can take care of the issues that have been nagging you, like those yellow jackets that you went after. I saw it on Facebook. And it's not funny, but you went out there with a vengeance to get them. So, you know, not just in that, but in all aspects, you can solve everything that's been, you know, bugging you for a long time. Do it while you got it. There you go.
All right. Very nice. Good.
And Tabby went after a bunch of yellow jackets?
Yeah.
She got stung. Yeah, she got stung, and then she went out with a vengeance. She was going to get those guys, and I can't use the language she used.
Right.
yeah, she was... determined, that's a good way of putting it, to make sure she never got stung again by that group. Yeah.
Right. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow. Well, she must have been looking for the wrong thing, though.
Mm-hmm. She said, yeah, she got stung 12 times. Yeah, I think that's that's enough impetus to incentive to go out and do a little harm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been chased by them before, too, so I know what they're like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got a message from Sherry in chat, and she would like a reading.
Okay.
Okay.
Excellent.
So let me shuffle it up here. I'm trying not to do the thing because everybody's going to want to ante up and, you know, play a game of five-card stud. So I'm trying to be quiet.
That's the old Stephen Wright. The old Stephen Wright joke. He says, you know, we didn't have a deck, you know, regular decks. We used a tarot card. I got a full house and three people died.
Uh-huh. I like that. I like that. Okay.
Yeah, I've been trying to look up the Cecil Hotel, and it really tends to really dwell on Lim's suicide or Lam's suicide. Mm. But one thing I did read in another article while you're preparing was – there's a parking lot next door. They actually sued the hotel because so many people were throwing themselves off the roof into the parking lot.
Oh, good God. I like that in a strange way. Mm. All right. I got the Merlin card for Sherry. And, you know, everybody's heard of Merlin the Magician, Merlin the Wizard of Arthurian legend. And Merlin was a man of mystery and a man of magic. And a lot of contradiction and controversy surrounded his life. I mean, he appeared as an old wise man giving wisdom before successive British king. He was also known as a wild man of the woods during which time he learned to talk. He was reported to be a druid, a Celtic priest, a man who possessed the knowledge and secrets of the ancients, and he was especially revered as a great prophet, but he also possessed human qualities that led to his eventual downfall. And, you know, the fact is that we are all human, and the message of this card can be derived from Merlin. Being the best we can be, following our hearts, and forgiving our stumbles along the way is the key to peace of mind and tranquility. So, you know, don't be so hard on yourself. You're only human. And if you stumble, get back up, stick a Band-Aid on the scab, and keep on going.
All right.
That's a good reading.
But if you had a scab and you knock it off, you just put a fresh Band-Aid on it?
Yeah, because then you just messed up again. So you just, you know, because what do they tell you about picking scabs? Oh, we always used to get that lecture. Uh-huh. So don't pick scabs, but if you do, put a Band-Aid back on and keep going then again.
All right. We got, I don't know, about 20 minutes, a little over 20 minutes left. I think that it's time for, even though Cece has a deck, I still think that you should pull one for her.
Well, her deck and my deck might not coincide. You never know.
Yeah.
Deck collision.
Yeah, deck collision. And you know, you're dancing around it too, Henry. I mean, you know,
yeah.
you probably need a card. But it's interesting. I just shuffled well. Not loudly, but well. And I got the witch's hat for Cece as well. That's interesting.
Sounds
yeah.
to me like that deck is stacked with witch's hats.
Nah, just one. but do you remember what I'll get back to? I mean, I'll, you know, kind of fill you in again. But basically, it's about heightened senses and the ability to tackle and solve things that have been nagging at you. And how many people have come to you lately and wanting your help or an ear or, you know, counsel?
Mm-hmm. It rings true.
It rings true.
And that's a good way of putting it. Yeah, it does ring true. So, yeah, both of you are kind of in the same, same place. But it's good. Yeah,
they're in the same canoe. Is that what you're saying?
I would say they're in the same cauldron, but then you'd accuse me of, you know, cooking people up. So I won't do that. But yeah, I mean, they're both in a good place. I mean, you know, there are periods that we go through when we really kind of dumb out. You know, we just get kind of dumb for a while, and then there are times when the senses are sharp, and those are the times that you really have to take advantage and run with it. You know, it's just kind of important to know when those happen. Sometimes, you know, it sneaks up on you and you don't realize it. But I think both Cece and Tabby need to get going with this thing.
Sounds to me like it's something that they both needed.
Well, all the messages are need. Now, whether people accept the fact that they're needed, you know, because there are some messages. I mean, I'm not, you know, this is not...
there's some that's not good. Is that what you're saying?
No, what Jeff is talking about, Wicca being all love and light. No, I mean, the messages here are pretty blunt in general. You know, I don't sugarcoat things during a reading, and I didn't think I needed to sugarcoat things in the cards. But, you know, I explain what each image is, but then here's the message. And, you know, sometimes you just need to hear it. And we don't like to hear it, but sometimes we need to hear it.
Mm-hmm. So there.
Now we got Nyla in the chat room. Ooh. Who would like a reading about her health.
Oh, poor Nyla, yes.
Yeah.
I'm glad she's on the mend, but boy, it's not an easy road. Okay, let's see what we've got.
Now, I'll say there's something wrong with that deck if you pull another hat out.
Well, no, I actually...
I'm playing cards with you then.
I actually pulled a witch.
Well, you know, three times is a hat trick.
Oh, she's so right.
Sorry, Marla.
No, that's good. I like that. But for Nyla, I got the witch card. And, you know, I mean, I'll go through this because people need to hear about witches. They may not know this stuff. But, you know, once upon a time, there was a time when witches were honored and they were respected and worshipped. And they worshipped the cycle of the life like we still do. The earth, the phases of the moon, the changing seasons, birth and death, you know, all of that stuff. And it was so, we were so in vogue, what a way to put it, but old writings show that if a witch came to visit, the lord and the lady of the house would give up the high seat to her, which was a very powerful way of indicating that the witch had higher authority. That left after a while, for sure. But, you know, in life, Nyla, the witch herself, as you know, is the magical tool in her own right. We are, you know, we are the best tool that we have. And in a reading in this deck, the witch is the most powerful card of all. It represents you, and it's a reminder that it's your intentions and energies that determine the result of any magical or mundane work that you do. The focus, the concentration, the desires, are always at your disposal to make, you know, the deepest, darkest desires come to fruition. And health is the most important desire for any of us. And so I know physically that this really beat you down, but don't overlook the power inside of you. It's still there. And, you know, as this reading says, it's a gift that you will carry forever and use it wisely. So I think, you know, it's your strong will, and you have a strong will that's going to pull you through this. And hopefully sooner than later, because it can't be fun. It can't be. But, you know, the witches, because this is the most powerful card of the deck, that really tells you that you can do anything you want and make it happen. So use yourself as the tool and get better quicker.
Very good. Very good. And she is on the mend. She is feeling better, still a little tired, but she's doing a lot better. I still think that some of the medicine that they've got her on has a lot to do with her being tired.
Could be.
She's been cleared to go back to work. I think it's Tuesday. So depends on if she can stay awake. But she is doing better. She's staying up more and starting to try and do more just to start getting her energy and stuff back.
So right.
She's doing better.
Good. Thank God. And Goddess.
With that, I'll let everybody know we still have a few minutes. If you would like to get a reading from Marla, either send a message to Ceiling Cat, Jeffrey Gould, Cat, or myself, and we will get one for you right away. So I guess until then.
It's your turn.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here.
I just see what I'm going to get, the skull with the two knives and the.
There's no knives in my skull. He has flowers on his head.
Yeah, well, it's still got a boiling pot underneath me.
Well, we'll just see what it is, you know. Okay, I'm going to make a really bad joke here, but you got the besom, which is the witch's broom. So with all that stuff coming out of your mouth, I would just, like, send the broom over to smack your butt. Yeah, I just kind of couldn't help that one. There you are, yada, 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 and here comes the broom. Okay, look out. Don't even have to bend over. It'll find you. Yeah, it will. So, anyway, I should get semi-serious here, or at least try. All right, now, most people start the rituals with the sweep of the broom to kind of clear out negative energies when they're doing a circle, and a lot of people just use the besom to clear out energies no matter when. You know, our brooms are not to be the ones that sweep the floor. You know, that's the mundane broom, but ours symbolically clean and brush things away. And in fact, they were often used in magical practices way back in as far as the Middle Ages. And they were placed near the hearth of the home to protect the opening. And many pagans still believe that putting one by the fireplace will prevent evil from entering down the chimney. So, again, people use the broom to sweep and clear out negative energy, and that's part of creating sacred space, like what we were talking about before. And many witches feel that the brooms carry the energies as well and can be used to, you know, sweep in positive energies. And that was something I didn't know. I thought it was always to sweep stuff out, but good to know that it works both ways. And so in a reading, this card really kind of indicates that it's time to make a clean sweep of things. Time to clean house. And that's not just, you know, literal, but it's kind of a time to throw out thoughts and things that are useless, you know, whether it's a person or a thing, and remove the negativity which has been surrounding you lately, because there has been not a big black cloud, but I think there's a little gray cloud that's been kind of right over you.
Just hanging around. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it needs to be swept away. And the positive energy needs to be swept back in your life. So, you know, when something like this comes up and, you know, it says, well, you need to sweep, and that you don't, it's nice to have a besom. Not everybody does. So you can do it in your head. You know, just pretend that the whatever is bugging you, you see on the floor some building blocks, you know, the ones with the alphabets on them, and your problem is there. It's written out in the alphabet blocks. So in your mind, take the broom and sweep them out the door.
Okay.
You know, or, you know, some people will actually write down their problems or their issues, write it on a piece of paper, and then if they live anywhere near a stream or a river, they'll throw it, toss it into the water. Now, there are more hardcore people who will do the same thing. They'll write their issues that they want to get rid of on a piece of paper, and then they'll flush it down the toilet.
Hmm.
All works. It's just the idea of banishing things however you see. You can light a piece of paper on fire with it written down. But what I'm getting beyond this is that sometimes you would rather not face stuff head on and just sometimes hope that it kind of goes away.
Right.
And sometimes it does, but it often doesn't. So I think what it's saying is that you need to be a little bit more proactive in handling certain things, you know, things that maybe are uncomfortable, you know, because you don't, nobody wants to fight with anybody. Nobody wants to confront everybody. And sometimes you don't want to confront a problem. But you can kind of, you know, metaphysically sweep it away and help get rid of it. And so you're not doing enough of that.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see if I can't get rid of some stuff. I've been...
We've all got too much.
Well, I know I got a house full of junk. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I just never get around to doing it.
Uh-huh. You need a broom. You need a broom.
I need more than a broom. Back up a dump truck or something.
Yeah, get a shovel and start shoveling. Well, start by doing it mentally. And then maybe, you know, the rest of it will kick in and you might get actually, yeah, you might get busy and get it done.
Well, that sounds good.
And Nyla might have a broom. She could come after you too, you know.
Yeah, but she'd be using it for something else, I'm sure.
You
don't want her to chase you.
Well, no. I would hope that I'd be able to outrun her, but more importantly, I would hope she would have no reason to chase me.
Yeah, I hope so. It's been a pleasure having you on tonight and talking about your witch's oracle deck. I'm sure that Barbara still has another page and a half of questions like she usually does. I know Nyla has your deck, and she really likes it. So,
thank you, Nyla, for, you know, liking it.
It's a very colorful deck. I don't know anything about reading cards. I know how to play cards, but
me too.
Not tarot.
But yeah, this is more visually pleasing.
Yeah.
Than you know the 52 card deck. I like that too. Yeah, and people are attracted. I don't know. People just, you know, I guess some people are just attracted to colors or whatever. I mean, okay, I will, you know, nothing is perfect. And I, when I was looking through some of the critiques and some of the discussions, I had to burst out laughing because, you know, CC was asking if, you know, there was any discussion about certain cards, and there was, and most of them got fixed. A couple of them slipped through the cracks. And so I was reading on this one forum that this woman said, well, most of the artwork is very, very nice, but I did not like the unicorn. And so I'm thinking in my head, okay, well, I thought it was a pretty okay unicorn until I read a little further. And she said, I don't like it because it reminds me of My Little Pony.
My Little Pony, huh?
Yeah. What? I know. So one person thing. And I went back and looked at it, and I'm, you know, My Little Pony came a little bit after the time that I would be interested in My Little Pony. Yeah. In other words, yes, we're old, and that came later. But, yeah, so, you know, I mean, everybody is going to have a criticism somewhere or another, but I just thought that that was a very funny criticism, and it was on a card that I didn't mind. I mean, there were a couple of others that I would have liked to have seen differently, but My Little Pony wasn't one of them, so it was kind of amusing.
Barbara?
What?
You haven't fell off yet, have you?
No. I like that.
I am.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I am here.
No, she hasn't fallen off.
No. Marla and I could talk for hours on stuff like this.
Yes, and we have on occasion. Have,
yes.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Now, one thing I did want to bring up and let everybody know is, we are still here. The world did not end Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
Did I miss another thing?
It didn't end today, too, with the asteroid that was supposed to hit.
So. Oh, Nibiru was supposed to hit today?
Oh, no, some comet they thought was going to hit Earth. Oh. That was actually about, you know, way, way out beyond the moon.
I keep missing the end of the world.
Okay. I missed today's. I knew we lucked out through Wednesday, but I missed today's, definitely.
Yeah,
just,
I told
you know,
that
just
I would,
can't die. You know, it's just the...
I told him I'd announce it on the radio show that we missed it, so I did. Now everybody knows that we're still alive, unless we're actually dead and we don't know it yet.
We're in the holographic universe.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
I like alternate realities. That works.
That's
for
fun.
Me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, people can pick up your deck at schifferbooks.com. I'm looking and at the page right now.
They can. And they can also pick them up a little bit cheaper at Amazon.
Ooh. The link of which will be on the page, of course.
So, yeah, I mean, Schiffer is good. Amazon's good. You know, whatever. You know, I mean, if you can save a buck, save a buck. I mean, yeah. But they're all over the place, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just make sure that you get the deck that don't have 25 hats in it.
Oh, I don't have a stacked deck. There, you know, if I was going to stack the deck, I'd stack it with gargoyles or something.
You know, we get to see Marla on Penn and Teller Fool Us.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Did you see Penn, how much weight he lost?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, apparently he was given some dire news by a doctor, and he went vegan or something.
Who
did? He's Pentelet,
the big guy.
He's no longer a big guy. He's still tall, but he's not.
Well, that's
huge.
The thing when you're stretched, your skin is all stretched out, and then you lose all the weight. It becomes triple balloon time. So you know, he's got to get a little tucky going. tighten up the old flesh suit.
But it's amazing, you know. I mean, it's amazing what some news will make you do, because, you know, who would have thought that he lost over 100 pounds or something? I mean, well, major.
Considering how he used to look. But at least we figure, well, good, we'll have him for more years, because they're just brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Penn and Teller. I do.
Well, we're quickly running out of time. I do want to remind everybody that it's only like 2 weeks or 3 weeks, something like that, till we're going to Antietam.
3 weeks.
3 weeks. So you can always join us there if you like.
Halloween's on a Saturday this year. Ooh.
Yep.
Ooh.
Now, does that mean we're going to lose listeners because they're going to be out trick-or-treating, or are we all going to be out trick-or-treating too?
I'm sure that by the time we do the show, the trick-or-treating will be over with. Well, I don't know about
California.
Yeah.
It'll be 5 years.
Hey, I did get a costume to wear for the show. I did.
Oh, Lord, no.
Yes.
Marla.
So now that sorry.
Why don't you tell everybody where they can get a hold of you and about your show and all the good stuff.
All the good stuff. Well, the show is on Thursday nights here on Para X at 9:00 Eastern. And I'm easy to find. I've got a website, marlabrooks.com, which really needs upgrading, but that's a whole other story. And also, I'm on Facebook, so I'm easy to find there. There's also a Witch Oracle page on Facebook that, you know, the Witch's Oracle. Type that in, you'll go straight to the deck page. And there's also a show page, Stirring the Cauldron page.
And technically, she's on Twitter. Technically.
Technically, yeah, I know. I know. I fought being a twit for so long, and then my guilt made me sign up, and it's like, I hardly ever go there, and shame on me.
But I couldn't help posting something on your page because of something you were saying earlier tonight, and I thought, really? So I posted it to you, the Paranormal View page, and to Kat and Ellen.
Now I'm going to have to go on Twitter and look. Oh, no, you're dragging
me. Just look under notifications, and it'll be there.
Okay.
Because it was about you're talking about nothing written in stone. I thought, oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for headstones, I know. Okay.
So, yeah, you can go to my website, jeffgould.net, G-E-O-F-F.net. And if you add the /2011pnv.htm, that's my Paranormal View hub page where you can look at all the different show reports that we've done. You can go to tonight's reports. You'll see links to all of Marla's books and her Oracle deck and her show and Facebook and her cobweb-filled Twitter account and all that stuff. The official webpage is theparanormalview.com. I almost said cob because I was thinking of a hashtag. I made a hashtag. It said spooky foods. I said corn on the cobweb. At Facebook, just do a search for The Paranormal View. There we are, community, not magazine. Please like our page. We try and post funny stuff throughout the week and really cool scientific and spooky stuff. And on Facebook, you can search for me, Jeffrey Gould, GeoffreyGould. And there you go. Oh, and I'm on Twitter at RealBadger.
Okay.
I'm very active.
Okay, well, you can follow me on Twitter at Kat Klocko, KatKlockow, or at Jinxed Comic. And you can also visit my personal website at katklocko.com. It contains everything about my books, the radio, and comic books. And also, we have 2 spots left for our Antietam hunt at the Pry House on Halloween. If you're interested, please email us at theparanormalview@gmail.com. I think tickets are $40 a piece.
That's it. You would be right. Next week, we have Thomas White. He is the author of Haunted Roads of West Pennsylvania. So, that ought to be a great show. And I want to thank Marla again for taking the time to be with us tonight.
You're very welcome.
On a short notice, but we had a great time and a great show.
So. I like talking to you guys.
Yes. Thank you for the readings.
No, you're welcome.
Yes, even if I do have to sweep stuff out.
Oh, you just didn't want to hear it. That's all. You're just grumbling now because of the kid a little too close to home. Yeah.
With that, it's time for us to be going. So, let's see. I got it on here somewhere. Where are you at? Come on. There you are. All right. This is Henry Foister.
Jeffrey Gould.
Barbara Duncan.
And Kat Glucko.
We'll see you next week at the same time. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network. Join us again next week at the same time for more of the Paranormal View.